What does it mean to be loyal? How can this convention program strengthen our loyalty? Please pay careful attention to our convention chairman, Brother Nathan Garlick, who serves as a circuit overseer in the Edmonton area, as he presents the talk, Jehovah Deserves Undivided Loyalty.
It is good to be here together again. Our very presence here today shows our earnest desire to exercise loyal love to our God Jehovah. And we're showing that love by our obedience to His command to not forsake our meeting together. Now, has it been easy for everyone to get here today? Oh, hardly. We can see many families with small children. Some of you are here, but maybe not in good health. Maybe some of you had to fight very hard to get the time off of secular work in order to be here for all 3 days. We know that it took real effort for many, if not all of you, to attend this convention. And we want to commend you for your obedience and assure you that you will be blessed for making the effort and obeying the command to be here. Now, how do we know that you're going to receive a blessing? Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. See if you can pick out the blessings we're going to receive from being here together. It says, "Look how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like fine oil poured on the head that runs down the beard, Aaron's beard, and runs down onto the collar of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon that descends on the mountains of Zion. That is where Jehovah decreed his blessing, life everlasting." Well, we can see that in verse 1, it's good and pleasant to be here together. How good? How pleasant? Well, verse 3 says it's like dew. When you think of dew, you think refreshment. Well, get ready to be refreshed over the next 3 days. Get ready to feel like, well, like the grocery store. When you walk by the lettuce and you feel that mist, we're maybe those heads of lettuce. We've maybe come here feeling a bit wilted. Maybe we're going through trials. Maybe we just feel a bit discouraged. Get ready for the refreshment. So we want to commend you. Well done to be here, and extend a warm welcome to the Remain Loyal to Jehovah Regional Convention. Well, obviously, we're going to talk about loyalty a lot over the next 3 days. So maybe a good place to start is to find out, what is it? What is loyalty? Well, many dictionaries define loyalty as personal steadfast adherence in the face of any temptation to desert or betray. So there's that word, adherence. The Hebrew word rendered loyal love refers to kindness that lovingly attaches itself to an object until its purpose in connection with that object is realized. So there it is again, lovingly attaches itself. That's loyalty. And the Greek noun carries the thought of holiness, righteousness, reverence, the careful observance of all duties toward God. So to sum all that up, what's loyalty? Faithful, devoted, and attached. That's loyalty. So who deserves our loyalty? Who deserves us being attached faithfully to them? Well, number one, Jehovah our God. Now, there's four reasons that Jehovah deserves our loyalty. Reason number one, Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, Jehovah our God, because you created all things." Now, isn't that true that a little boy, if someone says something disparaging about his dad, oh, he gets upset. See, he's loyal to his father who made him. We're loyal to our Creator, to our Heavenly Father, Jehovah, because He's our Creator. That's number one. Number two reason Jehovah deserves our loyalty, He has outstanding qualities. One of His most amazing qualities is loyalty. We want to be loyal to Him because of that. It's like that little boy again. Doesn't he want to tell everybody how great Dad is? We have many reasons to tell people how wonderful our Heavenly Father is. His wonderful qualities make us want to be loyal to Him. Number three, He exercises His sovereignty in a loving way. That little boy senses the love of his dad. He's loyal to Dad as a result. We're loyal to Jehovah because of the loving way He rules over us. And the fourth, He is the only true God. That's a very good reason to be loyal to Him. So Jehovah deserves our loyalty. Is there anybody else? What about Jesus? He too deserves our loyalty. Why? Four reasons again. Number one, next to Jehovah, Jesus is the most powerful being in the universe. Well, that's a good reason to be loyal to Him. Number two, He has been appointed as King of God's kingdom. We want to be loyal to our King. Number three, Jesus also has outstanding qualities, including that beautiful quality of loyalty. We want to be loyal to Him because of His beautiful qualities. And the fourth reason why we want to be loyal to Jesus, why He deserves our loyalty, He gave His life for us. Well, we can see clearly that as Christians, we want to be loyal to Jehovah God and Jesus Christ. They deserve it. The Bible teaches that there's two groups of Christians. One group has the hope of ruling in heaven with Christ. Let's turn the Bible to Revelation chapter 14, and we're going to see how this group feels about Jesus. So Revelation 14. Now, if you look at verse 1, it tells you the number of these Christians. It says 144,000. It mentions that also in verse 3. And right at the end of verse 3, it says that these ones have been bought from the earth. And now they're in heaven, ruling with Christ. Well, look at verse 4, what's being depicted here. It says, these are the ones who did not defile themselves with women. In fact, they are virgins. These are the ones who keep following the Lamb, no matter where He goes. These were bought from a mankind as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. So there they both are mentioned in verse 4, God, Jehovah, and the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Well, the Bible refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God. And this group, this 144,000 in heaven ruling, did you notice in verse 4 how they feel about the Lamb? It says they keep following the Lamb wherever He goes. Doesn't that make you think of a nursery rhyme that also depicts loyalty? Remember, Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. See, the lamb is loyal to Mary. Everywhere Mary goes, the lamb was sure to follow. In the Bible, it says that these ones ruling in heaven, while they're on earth before they go to heaven and in heaven itself, they follow the Lamb. Yes, they are loyal to Jesus Christ. They follow Him wherever He goes. Now, what about this second group of Christians? These would be the ones that would have the hope of living on earth under the rule of God's kingdom. How do they feel about the Lamb? Let's just turn back to Revelation chapter 7. Now, in verses 4 to 8, in verse 4, it's talking about the 144,000. and that they form a spiritual nation of Israel, spiritual Israel, not on the earth, but bought from the earth to rule in heaven. But now there's another group in verse 9. It says, after this, I saw and look, a great crowd which no man was able to number out of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in white robes, and there were palm branches in their hands. Well, there they're singing in verse 10 this song, pledging allegiance, giving their credit for salvation to the Lamb. This group also is loyal to the King, Jesus Christ. So the one group of Christians, the other group of Christians, both loyal to Jesus and to Jehovah. What's the relationship between the two groups of Christians? How do they feel about each other? Well, as you can see in verses 4 to 8 of Revelation 7, the 144,000 are depicted as a spiritual nation of Israel. It's interesting in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23, which we won't read, but it mentions there that 10 men would come out of all the nations and grab hold of the robe of a spiritual Jew and say, we want to go with you. Now, do you remember the definition about loyalty? It was attached lovingly. Here we see the relationship between those of the great crowd attaching themselves to those of the anointed remnant of spiritual Israel. This loyalty towards those taking the lead, all of us want to have that in our congregations. Whether those taking the lead are of the anointed or of the great crowd, we're loyal to such ones. Now, how do we express that loyalty? Well, there's a good example in the book of 3 John. Just before Revelation, let's just turn there. Now, 3 John was written by the Apostle John, and if you look in verse 1, it was written to a man named Gaius, whom John truly loved. But why did he love Gaius so much? Well, look at verse 5. He writes to Gaius, "Beloved one, you show your faithfulness in what you do for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have given a witness about your love before the congregation. Please send them on their way in a manner worthy of God." Did you notice in verse 5? Gaius, he showed faithfulness by acting on behalf of the brothers who were taking the lead. And in verse 6, he was known for the love he had for the congregation. Gaius was loyal. He showed it by his loving attachment to those taking the lead. We can imitate Gaius. How? Well, when there's somewhat troubled conditions in the congregation, maybe in our congregation, well, this gives us opportunity to display loyalty to Jehovah and to those representing him. When there's been a disfellowshipping, loyalty requires that we back up the elders, not trying to second guess to determine if there was sufficient reason for the action taken. Unlike disloyal Satan, who focuses on the negative, we loyally defend such ones and never speak ill of those taking the lead. Well, that brings us to some dangers with regard to loyalty. We're going to talk about two of them. Number one, we must beware of misplaced loyalty. Now, what does that mean, misplaced loyalty? Let's see what Jesus revealed at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. Look what Jesus says here. "Whoever has greater affection for father or mother than for me is not worthy of me. And whoever has greater affection for son or daughter than for me is not worthy of me." So what is Jesus speaking about here? What's the most important word in making his point about loyalty or warning about misplaced loyalty. Did you pick it out? There's a little word, greater. You see, it's not wrong to have affection and loyalty for our family. In fact, that's very commendable. Children should obey their parents even when they get older and they need assistance. We want to be there for them. But Jesus is teaching us about misplaced loyalty and that it relates to family. Never would we want to have greater affection for anything more important than our loyalty for Jehovah and Jesus. You know, to illustrate the meaning of that word greater, you know, think of a young man. Maybe he's had a buddy all his life, a friend from school, from childhood. They've grown up together. But now that young man, he gets married. Who should he have greater affection for? His wife or his buddy? Well, he didn't marry his friend. He didn't become one flesh with his buddy. If he continues to have greater affection for his buddy, is that a good idea? No, he's expected to have greater affection for his wife. In the same way, we must have greater affection for Jehovah and Jesus. And family can be a test of our loyalty. When a dear friend or a family member gets disfellowshipped, unfortunately, that can be a test. But it's not a new test. It's a test that dates back to the Garden of Eden. You see, when Adam sided with his wife Eve, when she took the fruit from that tree, in essence, she was about to be disfellowshipped. Who did Adam have greater affection for? Well, we want to make sure that we make the right choice. Natural feelings of loyalty to our family can test our loyalty to Jehovah God. Sometimes it's not the family itself that's the test, but it might be loyalty to our family values, perhaps the religion that we grew up with. Maybe a certain denomination is what we're attached to, and maybe it's rooted in the fact that our parents, our grandparents also were of that background. But let's turn to the Bible's clear direction at Revelation 18, verse 4. Now, as we turn there, it's good to remember that this is talking about false religion, and it's likened to a woman, and her name is given as Babylon the Great. Now, Babylon, ancient Babylon, was the center of false religion. Babylon the Great depicts the worldwide empire of false religion. And look at the counsel the Bible gives in verse 4. It says, "And I heard another voice out of heaven say, 'Get out of her, my people, if you do not want to share with her in her sins, and if you do not want to receive part of her plagues.'" Well, what does this mean, get out of her? Well, when a Bible student starts to learn the truth from God's Word regarding how to worship Him acceptably, what decision does he have to make? It can be a real test of loyalty, especially if we have feelings attached to that religious background. You know, it's kind of like being attached to a house that was built by your grandfather. Maybe that house, though, has become full of mold. It's dangerous to stay in that house. We're told by a house inspector that we have to get out of her. But the house is attractive. Get out of her. But Granddad built the house. Get out of her. If you're too attached to that house and you stay in it, you're going to die. Get out of her. What does it mean when it comes to our attachment to false religion? When we learn the truth from God, we must make the correct choice. It is a matter of loyalty, and the danger is misplaced loyalty. Never do we want to allow our loyalty to Jehovah and Jesus to become second place to anything or anybody. Let's talk about another danger, divided loyalty. Why is it important to be exclusive in our devotion and loyalty to Jehovah God? Let's turn to Exodus 34, verse 14, and see if we can find the answer to that question. Exodus 34 and verse 14. Here's a command. It says, you must not bow down to another god, for Jehovah is known for requiring exclusive devotion. Yes, he is a God who requires exclusive devotion. Well, that's an interesting phrase there, isn't it? Did you notice that? Jehovah is known for requiring exclusive devotion. A famous chef, what is he known for? His cooking. Famous hockey player might be famous for how he skates or how he shoots the puck. What's Jehovah known for? He's known for requiring exclusive devotion, or as the footnote says, not tolerating rivals. Now, this feeling that Jehovah has, it was very important in ancient Israel. The ancient Israelites fell to being loyal to Jehovah, but at the same time, following Baal, or Malcolm, the god of the Ammonites. The Israelites and the nations around credited Baal and Malcolm with giving rain, giving produce, giving wealth. Jehovah, he was viewed as the god of armies. So if they were to be protected from enemy nations, they would worship Jehovah. But if they wanted to get rich, they would worship Baal. Kind of like today, if we were to pledge loyalty to Jehovah, but at the same time, slave for riches, that would be divided loyalty, wouldn't it? How would Jehovah feel about that? Well, let's look at Zephaniah chapter 1 and see if we can determine his feelings about divided loyalty. So Zephaniah chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 4 and 5. And notice what Jehovah says. Zephaniah 1, verse 4, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will wipe out from this place every vestige of Baal, the name of the foreign god priests along with the priests. And those who bow down on the rooftops to the army of the heavens, and those who bow down and pledge loyalty to Jehovah while pledging loyalty to Malcolm. See, Jehovah, he did not accept divided loyalty. You can't pledge loyalty to Jehovah and at the same time follow Baal, Malcolm, or riches. And that's not too much to expect, is it? That Jehovah would expect or require exclusive devotion? Like, no doubt many of you in the audience here are married. Are you known for requiring exclusive marital faithfulness of your mate? Like, if your mate revealed to you that since your wedding day, when they were away on that business trip, they married somebody else too. Yeah, they've got another person over in the other end of Canada. Would you be okay with that? I mean, they're loyal to you while they're with you. No, you're not okay with that. Jehovah is not okay if we worship him as the God of Armageddon, but at the same time pursue riches. It's divided. Let's turn to Psalm 86, verse 11, and really get the sense of what Jehovah requires. Psalm 86, verse 11. It says, instruct me, O Jehovah, about your way. I will walk in your truth. Unify my heart to fear your name. Unify my heart. You see that phrase? Look at the footnote. It says, or give me an undivided heart. You see, a half-hearted marriage mate is not a loyal marriage mate. Well, we want to be undivided, a unified heart to be truly loyal to Jehovah. Let's see a good example of that. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 33. 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 33. And here we're going to look at the Zebulunites, one of the tribes of Israel. And they sent some men to join the army with David. But look at what quality they had. Chapter 12, verse 33 says, of Zebulun, there were 50,000 who could serve in the army, drawing up in battle formation with all the weapons of war, all joining David with undivided loyalty. Or as the footnote says, or all those joining David were not double-hearted. Yes, the men of Zebulun served David, did you notice, with undivided loyalty. And brothers and sisters, that's what this convention is all about. This convention is designed to help us to serve Jehovah with undivided loyalty. Please take out your program and let's see what gems are in store for us this weekend. First of all, maybe you notice that before each session, both in the morning and the afternoon, we have 10 minutes of music video presentation. Now, we've been instructed that during that time, we're to be in our seats quietly listening. We even have the countdown clock that you see. You know, usually when you see a countdown clock, it kind of tells you the amount of time left, you know, 10, 9, 8, till the ship launches. This is different. This is countdown to the bringing the ship back in, bringing it back into the seat so that we can then listen as the program begins. Well, our theme for today is Jehovah deserves, our theme for this talk is Jehovah deserves undivided loyalty. And we're really going to get a sense of that in our look at Jesus' example this afternoon. It'll remind you of last year's convention. Remember the Imitate Jesus convention? Well, we're going to spend some time looking at his example. The afternoon symposiums are definitely going to touch your heart. Tomorrow's theme is Your Loyal Ones Will Praise You, and we're going to hear from some of our brothers and sisters how they've been loyal to Jehovah and how Jehovah has blessed them. Saturday afternoon, it will be nothing short of amazing. We're going to look at what we can learn about loyalty from the book of Job. We have our first short film, Hope for What We Do Not See. So if you've been through a lot, maybe you're currently going through some trials, see if Jehovah doesn't touch your heart with the afternoon's program tomorrow. And just to pause right there, you know, when we think about brothers and sisters who've gone through a lot, we cannot help but think of our dear brothers and sisters who are present here who've come from the Fort McMurray area. Brothers and sisters, would you like to extend the warmest of welcomes to these dear ones with us? We are so delighted to be here all together to enjoy what Jehovah has in store for us. And as we're here together Sunday morning, the symposiums we're going to enjoy, it's probably not overstated to say they will probably change your life. They're certainly going to leave you thinking long after the convention ends about the importance of remaining loyal now by avoiding what erodes loyalty and pursuing what builds loyalty. And then, of course, Sunday afternoon, we have our second short film, O Jehovah, I Trust in You. Throughout our weekend, we're going to have 35 videos, 2 short films, 49 presentations. But the videos, let's see our first one now.
Every day, our loyalty to Jehovah is put to the test. Whether as parents or young people, married or single, at work or at our meetings, when receiving praise or facing disappointment, in a physical prison or an invisible one. each of us is confronted with a decision to remain loyal to Jehovah. What will you choose?
Well, get ready and have some tissue ready. What's being presented over these next 3 days will touch your heart. The feeling that Jehovah wants you to have is not just a determination to remain loyal. No, it's deeper than that. Let's turn to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Micah 6 verse 8 says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what is Jehovah requiring of you? Only to exercise justice, to cherish loyalty, and to walk in modesty with your God." Jehovah doesn't want you to just know it's the truth or to know what he requires. No, he wants you to have a feeling, to cherish loyalty, as the verse says. Thoughts lead to feelings. Feelings lead to actions. May the thoughts that Jehovah will provide for each one of you at this convention move you to feel, to cherish loyalty. That's the theme for the rest of today's session that we look forward to developing. May the effect of these 3 days and the feelings they create then move you to action, to serve Jehovah with undivided loyalty for all eternity. That's what he deserves.
Thank you, Brother Garlick, for that exciting preview of this convention.